What's happening, team? Welcome to the Self-Made Mind podcast. We are here to help you unlock your physical, mental and spiritual health. My name is Alex O'Keefe.
And my name is Dan Ramsden.
Welcome to another episode. This is just going to be a slight explanation of how we're going to roll things going forward, Dan.
Yes. I think they deserve to know.
Everyone deserves to know. They also deserve to know how to get one of those hoodies on your chest if they're watching on video also.
Well, before we start, I've got to say, I'm sporting that tee very nice, mate.
Thanks, mate. People who can't say, yeah.
Staying in the alignment of the ethos, get a good rig first.
Yeah.
Box ticked. That's why you can wear a nice tight tee.
Thanks, pal.
With flight on it.
It's not painted on for anyone that's wondering.
It looks like it, though. What were you saying about the camera? What are you saying about this? What would you like to know about this?
I think
this
it's great, but I think there's a procedure that you have to go through to get one of those done, isn't there?
Correct. And you don't purchase it, you earn it.
Like it.
So
how?
And I provide it when you can demonstrate all the flight athlete standards.
Okay.
So you got to play the game long enough to achieve it. It's a combination of raw strength, skill, speed, endurance, pretty much everything that you would need as an asset to be a good athlete.
I like that.
And I've tried to make it doable. Do you know what I mean? So proper, raw, hardcore athletes will be able to tick all the boxes quite easily, particularly the people that are doing CrossFit competitions at an elite level, you know, they'll be getting them, not a problem. But, you know, general members of the public that are interested in training, this should keep you interested in training for long enough to be able to start going through the standards and ticking them all off. So I believe, where are you now? Have you ticked five off the
five
list?
Five ticked off, mate, yeah.
Four to go,
yeah. So hopefully
I'm keeping the hoodie warm for you, buddy.
Yeah, you'll see me in one of these camo hoodies very shortly. But yeah, so moving forward, pal, what we're going to do moving forward is after every guest we have on, we're going to follow that episode with me and you chewing the fat, adding as much more value as we can if we've missed anything from the guest.
Bit of reflection as well, isn't it?
Reflect on the previous guest and, like I said, cover any issues that we didn't cover in the previous chat. And add more value, because that's what we're all about. That's what we want for everyone listening. So yeah, this is what it's all about today. Going back to the last episode with James Roffey, the mental health PT.
Yeah.
He suffered with a very bad eating disorder for 10 years. So I think this time what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you questions based on eating disorder, because you've got a lot of experience with your clients as well.
Yeah, working with people over the years, obviously nutrition is a massive theme that's covered when you're trying to achieve any particular result. Yeah. And up until the point, for me personally, I'd been a PT for 10 years, okay? Good physique, good levels of fitness, etc., etc. But I didn't know that I were ticking a lot of boxes for being, for an eating disorder.
Mm.
And it was alarming. So I did my nutrition course in 2017. And off the back of that, we covered a lot of content on eating disorders, how to identify eating disorders. And I were ticking some boxes and I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
And so then that really helps when you're discussing things with clients. It's like, oh, well did you know? You know, that kind of thing. Just giving you a heads up.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it's about having a relaxed mindset and not being too pedantic about achieving a particular goal and making sure that it's serving your life, not just to look a particular way, but to thrive optimally, to feel good, to live the life that you want to live, to have good concentration levels, etc., etc. It's not just about hitting a certain scale weight or looking a certain way for a picture, because, you know, it's not sustainable.
No.
You know, so then that's ultimately what we need to find. We need to find a solution that's long-term and sustainable. So hopefully I can provide a little bit more knowledge and a little bit more sort of tangible tools, really, based on the discussion that we had with James, you know, that were a really interesting story. Mm. A little fact on that is that one in every 2,000 males will suffer with an eating disorder.
Wow.
Which is quite a lot.
That is
One in every 250 females.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's a massive difference, like, just between male and female there. That's pretty
shocking. And when I'm covering these themes about nutrition, most of the time that I spend whilst coaching a client on nutrition and being okay with things like being okay with scale weight, being okay with what you're eating, is heavily centred around the female clients that I have or have had.
Mm-hmm. I think what you were saying before is when you were doing the research, you kind of identified little habits that you might have actually thinking, but I might be suffering with a bit of an eating disorder myself here.
Yeah.
I think there's different scales to it.
Of course, it's like a spectrum.
Yeah, so people listening now, you might identify with two or three, you know, attributes that are linked with an eating disorder, and I've done it myself. You know, like where it's like, because you need to have a healthy relationship with all type of food, and
exactly.
If you're like really restricting on a type of food, I think that can probably class as an eating disorder. In a way, because it's not healthy, is
that's,
it?
That's what I'm referring to with myself, and that's what I'm doing to a certain, you know, demonising certain foods. Ultimately, we've got to have the foundation in place to be healthy. We know that we need to eat whole foods the majority of the time.
Yeah.
But other than that, it can start to sway into an unhealthy relationship with it, and it can become quite pedantic and quite obsessive.
Yeah.
And hopefully somebody listening to this now that may be suffering with any of these things that we discuss, hopefully it can help you today. So,
would you, just for example, Dan, one of your clients comes to you and it's quite obvious that they're suffering with being too restrictive with the diet, etc. What would you advise to your client then, if it's quite obvious that they're struggling with restriction in the diet?
The thing is, you know, when you see some of the transformations and you see the physical change and it's like you've gone from that to that, wow, like that's a massive change. There does come to a point where you have to restrict. There does, but I'm always preempting the long game. So I'm always saying this is a moment in time. We go here for a short space of time.
Okay.
We come down to this calorie intake for a short space of time. We tick this box and then we go upwards. We increase our calories. We increase our carbohydrates.
Yeah.
You're going to put more scale weight on. This is okay. As long as your skin folds, which means your body fat tests, as long as your body fat tests are remaining low and in a healthy range, we're okay for weight gain again. We're okay for what's called reverse dieting and increasing the calories back up.
Yeah.
That's okay. So it can be quite contradicting, you know. So it's just about ultimately informing them that what you're about to embark on, or some of the traits that you're showing, like I've had some clients who come in and they're already restricted and they want to restrict even further. I'm like, what do you want me to take from you?
Yeah.
You're on 1,100 calories a day.
Yeah.
How do you want me to take more calories from you when now you want to perform and to lift weights and things like that and put muscle on? We can't do it. So I go through a bit of a process there where I'm trying to nurture their metabolism back up to a healthy, sustainable level, like 1,600-1,800 calories if it's a female, and that's at least.
Yeah.
And then we go back down again eventually.
Yeah.
So it's like go back up to come back down and then to go back up again, but it's all a process. It's like catching a wave when it comes.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not to say that this is you forever, this is your diet protocol.
Yeah.
You do intermittent fasting and that's you for life. You do the keto diet and that's it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you can take elements of it. You can implement little bits of it and then put it in, take it back out again.
Yeah.
And then knowing how things work, understanding the science behind it. So when it comes to eating disorders, first of all, there's some professional support that I advise that you look into.
Important,
Which is examine.com. Beat-eat.org, beateatingdisorders.org, www.ori-uk.com, or nhs.co.uk. They're all professional support systems online that you can look at.
Yeah.
If you are suffering, or you think you're suffering, or you think somebody else may be suffering,
yeah,
then you can look into this, and that's where you're going to get some online support as yeah, well.
That's important.
Yes.
Yeah. They're actually, when we released the James Roffey episode, we had a great response, by the way, so thanks everyone that listened. And there were a couple of people that privately messaged our page, basically saying, thank you for shedding light on this, because it's, you know, it's not really covered as it should be. So, you know, just hearing stuff like that, just thought, that's, you know, it's good to hear that. Obviously, we're doing something right, and
yeah, and fair play to James. Like I said before, like, to be so open and honest and transparent about his journey, that takes a lot of courage to do that on a public platform.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and fair play to him for that, because that is then him helping others by doing that, by speaking out. So it's a brave thing to do, but that's what he's all about now. He's trying to, you know, number one, overcome what he's been through, number two, help others now not to go through the same thing. So fair play to the man. So statistically as well, 10% of the people who are suffering with eating disorders have anorexia, 40% bulimia. What do you think 50% would be?
I'm going to pretend that I'm not looking at the notes now, and I won't be able to tell you, but please let us know, Dan.
And I used to tick this box, binge eating.
Yeah.
So,
you see, that's an eye-opener for me, because I wouldn't have necessarily had that down as an eating disorder.
Mm.
It's just like a thing what people do. You know, like binge drinking, binge eating.
But you're over-consuming, which will ultimately impact the quality of your life, the longevity of your life. It by doing that on repeat, you know, like restriction, overeat, you get what's called metabolic confusion as well, where your body don't really know what's coming. You need to have a stable amount of things going on in terms of macronutrients, calories that you expend through just movement every day, the calories that you consume. It's all quite consistent all the way through, and you're not really flapping about it. If you want to burn fat, you just need to be in a minor calorie deficit over the course of time, and it's going to keep bleeding it off, and it'll keep coming off nice and slow. If you hit a bit of a plateau, you just need to turn the screw a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. So binge eating does come into that, which may raise some eyebrows. And I ticked that box. So when I read that, I was like, whoa, that's me. Mm-hmm. I do a bit of that.
I think most people could probably relate to that, couldn't they? And that's why it's got the highest percentage.
And that's why it's the highest percentage, and we don't know about it. So just to give you a heads up, guys, eating disorders do come into the bracket of binge eating as well. Yeah. So, you know, the research is still ongoing for these sorts of things. So, you know, it's constantly evolving, changing, shifting. So stay current with the support systems online and keep looking into that. If you don't want premature death, then don't do any of those things, because it's really linked and impacting longevity. So ultimately, we want to help physical, mental and spiritual health.
Correct.
This is one of the things that's in alignment with that. So, you know, we want to impact people's longevity and give people a quality, longer life by the information that we share. So if you're ticking any of them boxes, then have a little look into it and check in.
Yeah.
With yourself or other people that you may feel are suffering with any of it.
Mm. Let's talk about some symptoms then that people can, you know, identify in themselves or others that might, you know, give the hint that someone is suffering.
Yep, so I'm just going to read a little list off then. So it's unbalanced eating. So again, like I've just discussed, restricting and then overeating, or restricting certain macros, thinking I can't eat that. Carbs are bad, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't eat sugar, it's going to give me cancer. I read this post. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So being, have some critical thinking about some of the things that you read online. Be careful about the pages that you're following and those sorts of things. Skipping meals is a symptom. Laxatives, diuretics, shake diet, you know. Yeah. Shake for breakfast, shake for lunch, and a healthy meal. No.
Bollocks.
No, don't do that. And steroid use as well. You know, we start to sway towards the males there as well, and that all ties in with a body image issue, and it ties in with still eating disorders, you know, and you know, I've got to eat a high protein diet. Yeah, we need protein, but bodybuilders in particular eat way too much protein.
Yeah.
Way too much.
And what's, just a quick one there, what's the most a human being can consume in one serving for protein-wise? Because am I right in saying that it's somewhere around 40 grams of protein?
Yes.
And then your body kind of just says, no, we've had enough there.
Yeah, yeah. It's around the 40, 50 gram mark. It depends on who it is. You'll hear me say that a lot. I apologise in advance for saying this word. It depends. I do say it a lot, but it does. It depends on the individual. There's so many factors involved, but yeah, if we look at a baseline figure of between 20 to 50 grams, you're not going to go too far wrong.
Yeah,
so if we look at that as a minimum and a maximum amount, and that's per meal, and you want several meals.
Yeah.
So, for example, some bodybuilders may be heading like way over the 100 marker, and then having supplements, and then you know, having 10 egg whites and those sorts of things, and it's unnecessary.
It's so
kidneys
common.
Kidneys don't need it.
Yeah, it's so common, isn't it? Because it's a bit like that bro science sort of thing, isn't it? It's like, got this meal, bro. It's 100 grams of protein. Smashing it, man. Going to be massive by tomorrow. But then it's like, well, no, because your body's only going to be able to deal with so much.
It can only absorb so much.
Yeah.
The thing is, your protein requirements will increase as you put weight on. So if you're putting muscle mass on, if you go from an 80 kilogram person to a 90 kilogram person, and you have put that on in mainly muscle tissue, and if your body fat levels have stayed down, that means that the protein intake has to increase.
Yeah.
If you're still doing the sports performance, you're breaking muscle tissue down, you have to replenish those damaged tissues.
Yeah.
That's, and your protein requirements go up.
Yeah.
Your protein requirements go up as you age as well. Yeah, because it's hard to synthesize protein and recover.
Right,
so that's one thing that I've definitely noticing now at this part in my training journey. I'm struggling to recover. Like, I'm not the same guy. Right. I've been training all my life, and I'm not like I was in my 20s. I understand that now, you know. So protein requirements go up so that you can recover a little bit quicker.
Right.
So that is when you age as well. Other things of symptoms are disturbances in menstrual cycles for girls, fainting, dizziness, low blood pressure, things like that, feeling cold, body temperature being cold, regular.
Right.
It may mean that
you're... That could be a symptom.
Yep.
Is that related to like blood circulation or...?
Yeah, well, calories, you get what's called the thermic effect of feeding.
Yeah.
So when you eat, part of your metabolism is... it's compromised over heat as well. So when you're eating food, it heats up your body.
Right.
And 10% of the calories that you burn every day will be through thermogenesis. Right. So if you're cold all the time, it's probably suggesting that you're not eating enough, basically.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's something I didn't know.
There we go. So bloated, constipated, food intolerances. So for example, I don't eat bread. I don't eat bread at all. And I'm not saying I'm talking on behalf of somebody else.
Yeah,
I don't eat bread now. You know.
Yeah.
Right. Why are you? You know. And then if you didn't eat bread for, let's say, 3 months, and then you ate a piece of bread again, guess what's going to happen? Boom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't like that. What if you just put in?
Yeah, because it's unfamiliar.
So then you can think to yourself, well, I have an intolerance to this food. This food's bad for me. No, it's not. It's because you've restricted it so much.
Mm.
Have a balanced overview.
Yeah.
Learn about the bread.
Yeah.
Don't completely take it out. For example, if we just isolate bread as an example.
Yeah. Well, some people like self-diagnose, you know, like gluten intolerances and stuff like
that. Yeah.
But without actually going to get tested, you know, it could be a number of things, couldn't it?
Yeah. And if you're unsure of any of this, get your bloods done.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hair loss, lethargic, poor sleeping patterns, you know, waking up in the middle of the night, hungry, those sorts of things, and a sort of skinny fat body composition. So you're very light, very slim, but you still got excess levels of what seems to be fat. It's not fat, but you just seem like you're carrying a little bit more, especially around the limbs,
yeah,
for you females, around the thighs, around the arms.
Yeah.
Can't seem to tone up in those areas, you know, and that could be essentially linked to eating disorders as well.
So there's a lot of good physical symptoms there to look out for. We've also got psychological symptoms, which is important.
Yes.
Got some down.
Absolutely. So preoccupied about food, so constantly thinking about it, thinking about where your next meal's coming from, or can't eat this and I can't do that. Anxiety around meal times and social events. So thinking, oh no, I'm going out for this meal and I can't eat that, you know.
You
can if you understand, you know. So work with somebody experienced in nutrition to kill these things off that ultimately will impact your life, and it will make you feel better about attending these things.
Yeah.
And knowing how you can compromise with food. Right, I'm about to eat a high fat meal. Okay, so then would you have a high amount of nuts, seeds, avocados, oils, fish, oily fish in your diet that day if you're going to eat a high fat meal for the evening? No, you don't.
Yeah.
You know, but it's knowing that, you know, it's learning those things.
Yeah.
Fear of gaining weight, big one, big one. I had a massive breakthrough with one of my girls that I've been working with for quite a while now, and you know, one of the issues and one of the themes were, Dad didn't get on the scales. Oh God, are you gonna weigh me again?
Yeah.
Oh, not why. It's just a digit. Like, it means nothing.
Yeah.
But I have to take it because I've got to know where your sweet spot is. I've got to know where your lean body mass is. I've got to know where your strongest is, and I've got to know where your fittest is, and all those sorts of things. So I've lost weight boxing.
Yeah.
Well, it runs hand in hand with the sport, you know. Like, I'm not. Yeah. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
I'm heavier when I play rugby. I know the difference, and I know the sweet spot of where I need to be. It doesn't mean to say that I've got an issue with either of them. Someone will come up with, oh, you've lost weight, haven't you? Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I know some guys don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
Particularly people that are into physiques and bodybuilding, you don't want to hear the fact that you're losing weight. It's okay.
Like your phrase again, though, it depends.
Yeah, yeah.
What your goals are, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if someone says, look, like you've lost weight, but you're trying to lose weight, and all right, nice one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like.
We just killed the elephant in the room. That's it. So yeah, fear of gaining weight. Again, going back to one of my clients, she's from a lean phase to where she is now. She's about 10 pounds heavier,
right?
And she's okay with it. Yeah. Totally okay with it. And she realizes that she's much stronger for that. And she's just recently competed in a CrossFit event, and she felt better for having that weight on her because. You're lifting some loads, and if you're doing a max weight clean and jerk, you're not going to do it in your lightest weight. It just don't run hand in hand with it. So that's what she was training for, and she totally surrendered that idea of I need to be this weight, which is okay now.
That's great. Healthy.
That's healthy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So fear of gaining weight. Yeah. Denial of hunger. You know, thinking that, oh no, you know, I'll just bypass this, my stomach's
rumbling. Yeah, bypass that feeling.
But it's not that, I'll just have another coffee or something.
Yeah.
No. Could be symptoms of depression, you know, again, low mood, negative mindset, those sorts of things. Lack of concentration, black and white thinking towards food. I can't have this, I can only eat that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Distorted body image, another big one. I tick that box.
Yeah.
Low self-esteem and perfectionism, tick that box as well. Sensitive about food, exercise and overall body image. So what I mean by that is if somebody says, you put a bit of beef on, haven't you?
Yeah.
And then, you know, straight fear in your eyes. It's oh, like you've lost weight. Like, yeah. Or when I went on holiday last year, Kaylin, my partner, said, I've never seen you look like that. Because I just totally chilled.
Right.
Totally chilled. I want training. I would mindfully resting, yeah. You know, putting a bit of garbage around, going out, and now I'm celebrating that. And usually I'm quite lean all year round because my life just revolves around it. You know, that's just what I do. But, you know, drinking cocktails on a night, having really nice meals, not tracking calories at all, not breaking stride, not getting my heart rate up, started to put a bit of body fat on towards the end of the week.
Porn star martinis.
Exactly, all that. Yeah. She went, I've not seen you look like that before. And I just laughed. I laughed it off and I thought...
Were you comfortable?
I thought, do you know what? This is a massive breakthrough.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I would have maybe been sensitive at one point about it. And likewise, if I throw a little passing comment about Kayleigh's booty, she's okay about it. She laughs about it. Which is, I think, is ultimately a beautiful place to be, is when you can laugh it off and be okay with it. And then if you decide to switch it on for any particular goal, you know you can.
Yeah.
But it's a healthy place to do it from, mm-hmm. not a fear place and not an insecure place.
Yeah.
So
that's a big one, that.
So, yeah, they're the psychological impacts of eating disorders as well. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully... that's given you a bit of an insight and a bit more of an insight into things, following on from James's episode.
Yeah.
And hope you guys found some value in it.
Definitely. Well, I just did sit in here, Dan, so hopefully people have who are listening as well. So yeah, that's mint. Thanks for that, mate. And this is how we're gonna roll going forward. We've got a really good episode coming up next. We spoke to a sleep expert.
Oh,
we'll leave it there for now.
Yeah, let's not.
We'll just dangle the carrot. But that were an amazing conversation.
We all need that, don't we? I think that perks everybody's ears up when we talk about that, because I think it's something where a lot of us do struggle with that part of his lifestyle. Yeah. And there was the content was so good.
Let's just say, be ready for your perception of sleep to be changed, because it's changed ours. Just from having the conversation.
Absolutely.
We'll leave it there.
Leave it there,
Don't go. So, yeah, that's it for this. And hopefully you guys have took some more value out of that conversation. So, yeah, stay tuned and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to another inspiring self-made story. And we hope you enjoyed the show. We would be very grateful if you could kindly leave us a review, as it will help us impact a wider audience. You can do this on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. If you want to reach out on the socials, find us across all platforms using @The Self-Made Minds Podcast. See you next time, and happy success making.